The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled, just as you heard it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You look marvelous. I gotta tell you, this is a special day for me, the fourth Sunday of January. It was 5 years ago on this Sunday that my husband Bob and I walked, 19.
You said 4 and 8.
Yeah, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 5 years. Oh, God. Yep. And I'm yours, you know. But I'm excited. Bob, say hi to the nice people. Oh, golly. We sat back there about three rows up, back in the back. Well, that previous summer, in 2013, yes, 2013, I had completed the 2 years of academics and began my intern field assignment at St. Giles Episcopal Church in Pinellas Park. Shortly after I arrived there, the priest, Reverend Ann McLemore, she accepted a call to a parish in Jackson, Mississippi, which kind of disrupted my field assignment at St. Giles. I did continue there through December and gave my very first sermon there, December 22. As God would have it, along with the consent of the bishop and Pastor Becky, I was transferred here for my field assignment.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. A year and a half after that, I was ordained to the ministry of deacon and was called, and I mean called, to be assigned to this parish to serve you. My life overall hasn't been much different than a lot of you. I've had a lot of laughs. I've had my joys. I've had pain and loss. And I've made mistakes, fallen, gotten back up, dusted myself off, and moved forward, just like I've seen a lot of you do here. But throughout my life, I've had a reverence for God and His holy word. I love this book. I love to read this book. I love to study this book and to meditate on this book. Through this book, I have experienced a relationship with a God whom I know that I know that I know cares about me, loves me, listens to me when I praise Him and when I cry to Him for guidance. So I really enjoyed preparing for this morning's sermon after I read the readings for today. To give some background for our first reading in Nehemiah, the Israelites at the time of this reading were just coming out of having been captured by Babylon for 70 years, 70 years of captivity. They were just coming back to Jerusalem and Judah. But prior to that, when they were being attacked, the temple had been burned, the walls had been broken down, all of the articles in the temple had been taken away. But now they're coming back. They've rebuilt the altar and the temple. Nehemiah was sent to begin working on the wall of Jerusalem. And there was opposition throughout all of this from the surrounding nations. And God helped them to give them the strength and ability to resist that opposition. But when the walls were completed and the doors in place, all of this was done. All of the remaining Israelites came back, not just those who were working on the walls and the temple. But they all came back. They went back to their hometowns. Many of them had to search for their family records so that they can be counted into the number of the Israelites. But at that time, our reading picks up here and says, all the people came together as one. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. This was the first for a lot of them. Are you feeling the exhilaration, the anticipation that they were experiencing? As he opened it, they all stood. We do that, don't we? When we're about to have a reading from the gospel of our Lord Jesus, we join together as one and stand up. Ezra read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Well, we don't do that. Then he praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's beautiful. They had been through so much, and now they can worship their God in their land, in their temple. They were reverent and thankful. And it says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear, giving it meaning, so that the people understood what was being read. That's so important, isn't it? Not just reading the words, but giving meaning to the words. Some of you may ask, why do we have to read all of these old stories? They don't really apply to us. But in our New Testament reading, it says that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. The Apostle Paul then says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. The word of God is important. It was written for a reason. There are so many life lessons in there. But whether you're reading the Bible, which I highly recommend, or doing the daily office of prayer, spending time with God is important. Father John Hartnett at St. Vincent's used to tell me to start every day, by being centered in Christ. That without being centered in Him, he would say, without being centered in Him every day, you can't do ministry. You just can't, Cindy. Even if it's just 10 minutes a day, get up early if you need to. I know you're saying, now you're meddling, Cindy. But whenever you get up, spend time thanking Him for the food in your belly, the roof over your head, your family, your children and grandchildren, for the opportunity you had the other day. Those of you who have jobs, instead of having lunch in the break room, grab a lunch and go down to your car. Sit there. Read. Pray. Whatever you need to do to spend time with Him. I have done that so many times. You like taking a walk? Use that time to talk to Him. Oh, and don't forget to listen. One of the hardest things for us to do sometimes is to be quiet. Listen. Sometimes you can be quiet for a couple minutes and think about a word or a phrase in the Bible and focus on that word or that phrase. You start doing that, you may want to add 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just doing that. It's amazing how enriching that will be. You can go online to BibleGateway.com and do a search on different verses or subjects. Maybe where you're having difficulty. You're having trouble with anger, with temptation, maybe your tongue. I'm not looking at anyone in particular here. But it's a good source. Maybe you like devotional readings, like the Forward Day by Day. Brother Eldridge Pendleton of the Society of St. John the Evangelist says, once a week, take time to pray with Scripture. Robert Wicks, a leading psychotherapist and spiritual director, recommends Lectio Divina, the method of reading over a passage of Scripture over and over until a word or a phrase just pops out, and chew on that for a while until it opens a door for conversation with God. I look out here and I see some of the most kind, generous, giving people I know. But as much as you are doing for others, please, please take time with God. I didn't say for God. I said with God. Sometimes we get so busy doing, we forget to breathe. Stop. Recharge. Renew your spirit. As you know, you've heard, Good Shepherd is starting a program called Renewal Works. It's a ministry of forward movement, which produces the Forward Day by Day devotionals. And it provides a way for each of us individually and as a congregation, as the program moves forward, to deepen our relationship with God, with our neighbor, with ourself, with the world. And doesn't that sound appealing? And it does begin today with that survey. It's online. You can go to our website, click on it, take some time, 20 minutes or so, something like that. And it doesn't matter where you are in your Christianity. If Christianity is new for you, or you're a cradle Episcopalian, if you prefer to keep your spiritual life private, or if you're a born-again cursiista, it doesn't matter. The survey's for you, wherever you are in your walk with Christ. And I'm excited about it. One of my favorite passages from the gospel reading this morning is where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. These words fall in our ears even today with force, don't they? The Spirit is indeed upon us, within us, under us, through us. Jesus read from the scrolls in the reading this morning, God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We too are anointed in our baptism, anointed with oil, anointed with the Holy Spirit. And I'm hearing the sound of the Spirit now. Jesus is Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And so we are anointed. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Thank you, Lord, for your word.